Today's reading is in John chapter 10, starting in verse 19. John chapter 10, verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At the time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This metaphor of the sheep and the shepherd is continuing. And we see there in verse 19, there is this division because of him talking about the idea of him being the shepherd and him being the door and the sheep listening and the other ones being thieves and robbers. And so they're saying he is a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? But others are saying, you know, can a demon do these things? Can a demon say these things? No. And so you have basically two sides, and they're arguing over whether Jesus is real or not, as far as what he claims to be. Is Jesus the Christ, or is he something else? And if he's something else claiming to be the Christ, then he has to be of the devil. Well, when the time of the Feast of Dedication is here and Jesus is walking, they're asking, "Tell us plainly if you are the Christ." This strikes me as a little strange, because if someone just walked on the scene and said, "Hey, look at me, I am the Christ," they wouldn't believe that either. They would say, "Prove it. Show it to me." Well, Jesus does it the other way around. He shows up and he begins demonstrating and showing that he is the Christ. They won't believe that. So which is it? I think they just wanted him to make the statement so that they could say, "See, it's he claims to be the Christ, but he can't be." You know, they're looking for an occasion to try to cast dispersions at him. So I don't think that this is a honest question. Tell us plainly if you are the Christ. It's not as if they truly are saying, "If you tell us, we'd believe it." Because he's been demonstrating it, and they have not believed it. Now, if we back up to verse 6 of chapter 10, John tells us they did not understand what he was saying to them. So there's some confusion that exists in their minds. When he gets down to verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and because of this," verse 28, "I give them eternal life." He is making these statements that point toward who he is and the mission that he has come to accomplish. They should be able to make a connection, especially if they really are studying the scriptures as they claim to be doing. The problem for them is stated in verse 26, "You do not believe because you are not among my sheep." Remember, Jesus states that his sheep will know him, they'll recognize his voice, they will follow him, they will trust him. But that's not what any of these Jews are doing that are making these questions to him, stating, tell us, when he's already shown them. Remember in chapter 8, he said that he was bringing truth and that the truth would set them free. But Jesus is stating the truth, but they're not willing to listen to the truth. And truth that is not accepted cannot set you free. Truth that is cast by the wayside so that you can look for something else does not benefit you. Truth has to be accepted and followed in order to enjoy its benefits. Jesus came to bring life and life abundantly, and he is the door to that life. He is the way to get to it. Not only that, he is the door to reach a relationship with the Heavenly Father. A relationship that we can enjoy in this life and then is perfected in the life to come. Verse 28, he states, I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. He's not saying they'll never die. He's saying they will have spiritual life. And you take advantage of the Lamb of God. You are cleansed. You are in that relationship with Him. You pass in this life. You go to judgment. And you are accepted into heaven because those evil things that would bring us condemnation have been wiped off the record. They've been taken away. God doesn't count those. There's no tally against us because Jesus has deleted them from the record, if you will. So He's promising to save us from that condemnation. And then He says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. The idea is that no one can forcefully take you away from God. No one can snatch you away against your will. That doesn't mean you can't stray. Sheep can leave the fold. Sheep can wander away out into the dangerous wilderness where they would be eaten. But He says no one can come and steal you. No one can come and take you. That is the power of God. He is stronger than anything else. He is stronger than Satan. Satan can't come and take you by force because God is stronger and He protects. Now, if you make the choice to wander away, He's not going to force you to stay, though He will implore you to come back. He will wait for you to come back. He will even seek you out to make that plea to come back. But He won't force you and He won't hold you, but He will protect you. He will make it so that you cannot be snatched away. And that should bring us great comfort that despite all the things that get thrown at us by the world, by Satan, that they cannot force us or separate us from God. Only we can do that. Only we, by choosing to sin, can separate us from God. Think back to chapter 9 with that man that was born blind that Jesus healed. He was the one that was honest in the situation. The parents didn't want to answer. The Jews that were leading, they didn't want to honestly seek an answer. They wanted to change the man who'd been healed. They wanted to change his mind. They wanted to interrogate everybody and cast dispersion on Jesus. But that man that was born blind, he wouldn't do that. He was honest and he believed. Even though he didn't know a whole lot, he believed that it could only be done by the power of God. Therefore, he should listen to and follow the one who did it. And when all that was done and Jesus met him and he said that he was the Christ, he was perfectly willing to believe. It had already been solidified in his mind. There was no other possibility. That is the power of God. That is the power of Jesus, our shepherd and our sacrificial lamb. But that man that was born blind and then healed, he was the one that was treated poorly. And we will be treated poorly likewise. Poorly by the world, poorly by everyone that Satan tries to send our way in order to treat us this way. But if we are one of the sheep of Jesus, we are secure, we are protected, and the world can throw anything they want at us and they cannot force us to leave Him. They can't separate us from Him. And that should bring us comfort. That should bring us joy. We need to pray that we understand the security of being a sheep under the shepherd, Jesus the Christ, knowing that we have His protective power at work for us. Thank you for listening today, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.